D-backs are back home, which means we are back for a little early BP. And Mike Fearon, it was a rough road trip for the D-backs after getting swept four straight in Colorado. They finished 3-7 on the 10-game trip and find themselves under 500 for the first time since April 16th as they start a six-game homestand tonight against the New York Mets and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Some quick news and notes first. John Duplante up from AAA Reno. He'll make his first big league start tonight for the D-backs against Zach Wheeler for the New York Mets. D-backs sending Kevin Krohn to AAA Reno to clear the roster spot for Duplante. Krohn 3-for-13 with a couple of doubles. Three doubles, I should say. All three hits were doubles in his couple of games in a D-backs uniform. I'm sure we will see him again in the not-too-distant future, but it certainly was good news with the way Christian Walker swung the bat in that three-game series in Colorado. Hopefully he's able to carry that over onto this homestand as well. We hope that you've been enjoying some of our draft coverage while we've been away. If you haven't had a chance to catch any of it, you can get it right here in the podcast feed at dbacks.com/podcast or on your favorite podcast catcher, whether that be Apple iTunes or Podstitcher, whichever it is. Go ahead and download us and go back and check out some of the content we've had ahead of the draft. We'll have plenty more ahead of the first-year player draft on Monday, including coming up today some thoughts from D-backs players and coaches on what it was like when they were drafted. We'll also visit with Torrey Lovello as we look back on the first third of the season and tonight's opener of a three-game set against the New York Mets and this six-game homestand. And tickets available for all six games for just $19. Go to dmax.com/tickets. All right, let's hear back on the draft memories from some of the D-backs coaches and players. How far has coverage of the draft come? Well, go back to 1986. D-backs pitching coach Mike Butcher was drafted twice, first in the January phase of the draft, then in the June primary phase.
What happened was, is back then it was Western Union, so I got a little telegram in the mail. My coach gave it to me. I was at junior college, Northeastern Oklahoma, and so I was very excited, obviously. My teammates were around. I think we had nine guys drafted off our team, which was pretty cool as well. And that's pretty much it. You know, I went back home to Illinois after the school season was over. And the scout was named was Carl Blando, came to my house, and I signed my contract, and that was pretty much it.
From telegrams to teleconferences to finally television, the draft has come a long way in its 54-year history. Now, the first 10 rounds of the draft are live on either television or video streaming on MLB.com. But even 8 years ago, Andrew Chafin didn't have the technology to find out when he was picked.
We had a plane on the way back, and the draft started about, I don't know, 10 minutes before we got on the plane. And so I think they're at like the 13th or 14th pick when we took off and everybody lost service. So, you know, sitting in the air for 3.5-4 hours, having no idea what was happening with my, you know, my future, I guess. And, you know, we landed or we were coming in for landing. And I remember the stewardess being like, all right, turn all your stuff off, blah, blah, blah. And everybody actually turned their stuff on because we were getting close to getting service again. And then one of my teammates, Kyle Hallett, got a hold of me or hollered at me and said, hey, bud, congrats. And I was like, well, how far did I drop down? And he's like, 43rd. And I'm like, I'll take it. So it was pretty stressful because nobody had any idea what was going on with it until we got closer to the ground.
In 2011, Chafin was midair. In 2012, Carson Kelly was mid-speech when he was picked.
So I was still in school. Still in school doing a presentation, actually, in my marketing class. And the draft was going on. I was giving my presentation, and I ended up getting drafted during my presentation. So everybody started clapping and celebrating. I'm like, guys, I haven't finished my presentation yet. This is not over. Why are we celebrating? And then I came to find out that I got drafted, and it was awesome feeling.
Similarities in that story to that of Darnell Coles, the D-backs hitting instructor who was taken sixth overall in 1980.
Well, I remember being in a sports literature class at school. Was told that I would possibly go high in the draft, had a pretty good idea. But you never know until your name's called. So little and behold, there wasn't a way for anyone to sit and watch the draft on television in class or anything like that. So They made an announcement over the PA system that I got drafted in the first round by the Seattle Mariners, sixth player taken overall, and I about...
The freak out is natural, whether it be in Cole's case because he had scholarship offers to play football and baseball at UCLA, or for others who finally get a chance to achieve a dream that they've worked their entire young lives for, like Blake Swihart.
I'm from New Mexico, and I just graduated high school, and my parents put on a little draft party at Coach's Bar and Grill on Central down in New Mexico. Had a bunch of family and friends come and watch the draft, and I knew I was going to be a high draft pick. I didn't exactly know when, and you know, my agent and I, we were selling that I was going to college, and I knew I was going to be a top pick, and just wasn't sure what the whole deal was. So, you know, just started watching the draft, and after the first 15 picks, I kind of got a little emotional. Didn't know what was going to happen. I thought it'd be picked by then, and then ended up getting picked in the first round in the 26th pick by Boston Red Sox. And I mean, it was a big party, jumping up and down, a lot of emotion, a lot of crying. And you know, it's just something you always work for. It's a dream come true. And you know, as a little kid, you watch it on like everything on TV, and to be able to experience that and be with my family. Especially.
From telegrams to TV, the way players find out how they're drafted certainly has changed, but it still gives them the opportunity to pursue a lifelong dream, getting a chance to play professional baseball. D-backs have 7 of the first 75 picks in Monday's first-year player draft. That's through the first 2 rounds. They have that many. In fact, they have 4 of the first 34, thanks to the number 16 overall, which they get based on their 82-80 record from a season ago, the number 26 overall for failing to sign last year's first-round pick, Matt McClain, and then comp-round picks at 33 and 34 for giving the qualifying offer to Patrick Corbin and A.J. Pollock as they want to sign elsewhere. So it's a very important day, and we'll have more coverage this weekend on that as well here on the podcast and on the BP show. But D-backs get ready to take on the New York Mets tonight, and we're just over a third of the way through the season. Let's visit with the manager, Torey Lovello. Torey, I know it was a rough road trip overall at 3-7. We're now just over a third of the way through the season. How do you assess the first 55 games?
Well, I think we've learned a lot about ourselves, and I think the more you find out about yourself, you're going to grow and learn, and you experience good moments and bad moments to get those experiences to push you to the next level. So what we did over these past several games was a little bit frustrating for us. I think we all felt like we were in those games. We should have won them. We pride ourselves on winning the margins. So I would say early on, we were winning the margins. As of late, we haven't been winning the margins, and those are the things we got to get back to.
When you look statistically, I think second in the National League in runs scored, sixth in earned run average, it looks like a team that should be well over 500. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's a game under?
Well, I know the run differential indicates that we should be 7 or 8 games over 500. I don't know exactly what that number is right now, but I know it's in that area. And you're right. When you look at statistics, it should tell us a different story. It's just unfortunate that not all games are played statistically, and you gotta find a way to do things at the right time with the right ingredients to win baseball games. You can't just go throw it out there and expect to win baseball games. Those are things that I'm asking everybody to step back and realize that we gotta find a way to do things right for 9 innings, not 8 of the 9 innings, and that's what's cost us.
Right, so that one inning obviously leads to the 9-15 and 1-run games right now. And listen, that San Francisco's 13-5 in them, right? So sometimes you can't really explain what happens in 1-run games. But how do you start turning some of those positives? What are some of those specifics that you want them to focus on in a 1-run game?
First of all, the belief that I'm going to be the guy that's going to help us win today's game, and I'm going to do all that I can on a daily basis to prepare for that moment, and I'm not going to let it get by me. And if I can't, I'm going to hand it off to the next guy. So to continue to be trustworthy of your teammates, to continue to build it for the next guy, and then have the expectations that you're going to win the inch. And that's something that we talk about here, that you're going to be prepared to go out there and execute and have the right mindset to know that you're ready to do it.
What do you think has to happen for the bullpen to get back on track as a group?
Well, I think we watched something happen that was a little bit of an outlier in Colorado. We just didn't put the ball on the plate. And whether that was what their offense was capable of doing or the altitude and the potential for the big inning, I think we gotta focus on strike one. That's the bottom line in this game. And when you throw strike one, the percentages sway in a very, very positive direction for the pitcher, and finishing off hitters when we have a positive count. And I think there's a couple things that we've done. We have either gotten ahead and not been able to finish, or B, we don't get ahead from the beginning and we put ourselves in a very, very negative situation.
What needs to improve against right-handed pitching for the offense?
Well, that's a really good question. I think offensively we have some really good key performers, and they got to go out there and be consistent. And as far as whether it's a righty or a lefty, I don't really know exactly what we got to pinpoint. I think it's much in the same. It's about identifying what the pitcher is going to be doing on a daily basis, striking the baseball when it's in the zone, and not getting into chase situations. I think when we don't have good days and we have poor days, I think the chase percentage is way up. We got to start to refocus on hitting strikes at all times.
All right, let's talk a little bit about tonight. John Duplantier is making his first big league start. I know he's got to be excited. I know you have to be excited for him. What's the hope with Duplantier? Because he hasn't really gone much past 65 pitches this year.
Yeah, we're gonna be on a very, very watchful eye when he gets to a certain pitch count. I don't want to give a strategy as to what we're thinking, but we know that he hasn't been deep into some games and he's still developing, and we've interrupted that development because he's come here and he's helped us win some games at the big league level. So super excited about his attack plan. He's got some really, really positive stuff. We want him to throw his best pitch from the first pitch until the last pitch. Go as hard as he can for as long as he can.
Tevin Krohn went out to clear a roster spot. You only have three guys on the bench. Not often. I think this is the first time since you've been here that outside of September you've carried 14 pitchers.
Yeah.
How long can you do that for?
Well, not a very long time, and you have to be very cautious about down players and giving some guys rest, and especially coming out of Colorado, I like to give guys rest. We did that. We cycled through a couple guys, but I couldn't do everybody once we were in Denver. But I think we got to get caught up. We had a really, really tough time pitching-wise. We had to dig deep into the bullpen. I think there's some fatigue factor. We needed extra coverage from a pitching standpoint. So until we get caught up, we'll stay with three, and once that happens, we'll start to maneuver.
All right, Skip. Good night.
Thanks so much.
D-backs skipper Torrey Lovello. Remember, you can get us subscribed here at dbacks.com/podcast to get our early BP before every home game, including our conversation with the manager. And if you want to listen to more coverage for tonight's game, for more on tonight's game, make sure you tune into the BP show at 6 o'clock on the Diamondbacks Radio Network and our flagship 98.7 FM Arizona sports station tonight. John Duplantier set to make his first big league start for the D-backs this evening. Third-round pick in 2016 out of Rice. He's been up and pitched pretty well for the D-backs and make his first big league start. He will be opposed by Zach Wheeler, hard-throwing right-hander for the New York Mets. So it should be a fun matchup tonight, and we thank you for joining us for another edition of Early BP.